From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. For a good part of Mitt Romney's presidential campaign so far, the questions of his Mormon faith come up again and again. Romney has found a kind of shorthand for addressing and yet dismissing the issue, as he did on the NBC program The Today Show in February of this year.
Well, I think I've found that people across this country want a person of faith to lead the country. And they don't particularly care as much about the brand of faith as they do about the values the person has. And my values are as American as you can imagine.
But the fact is, for some Americans, it's hard to say exactly how many, Romney's brand of faith matters immensely. A portion of the Christian right is troubled by the Mormon view of the universe. Many evangelicals, critical voters in the Republican base, don't even believe Mormons are Christians. Today in the program, we're taking up the question, are Mormons Christians? Or more particularly, what does it mean to be a Christian and who decides? Join us after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. For observers of the presidential race so far, aspects of Mitt Romney's candidacy are mystifying. On the face of it, the former Massachusetts governor is as appealing a character as you get in politics. Successful, handsome, with a bevy of clean-cut kids and grandkids, and as far as we know anyway, no skeletons in his closet. Yet for some reason, a portion of the Christian right is uneasy about a Romney candidacy. For these people, it's not the broad questions of his morals or his life, it's the particulars of his faith, the cosmology of Mormonism. Evangelicals, a critical part of the Republican base, are troubled and confused by the Mormon view of the universe, their ideas of eternal progression, the nature of God, the requirements for salvation. Many of these people don't even believe Mormons are Christians. Today in the program, we're talking about the unique and complicated theology of Mormonism, exploring the issues that play into the question of what is a Christian and ask just what does it mean to be a Christian anyway? And by the way, who gets to decide that? 801-585-WEST is our number, 801-585-9378, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Joining us first on the program is Linda Feldman, a political correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. She's following the presidential campaign. She's joining us today from her office in Washington, D.C. And Linda Feldman, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, thank you.
Let me ask, first of all, how important to Mitt Romney's chances is the Christian right?
Well, it's very important. The Christian right makes up one of the core activist bases of the party. It's not and the entire core activist base, but they're a significant portion of the base. And if there is kind of an en masse decision to reject Romney, then I don't think he can win the nomination.
There's an intriguing question here, because as I was mentioning there, you know, Romney's faith, I think, as you've written, should make him an incredibly appealing candidate. I mean, he's a devoted father and husband, clean-cut image, doesn't curse, doesn't even drink socially. Mm-hmm. In some ways, he should be the ideal candidate, don't you think?
Well, I do, and I think ultimately everything you just mentioned will work to his advantage. Perhaps his biggest problem, I mean, obviously getting over prejudices about Mormonism will be a hurdle for him, but he also, I think, has suffered from his, until recently, support for things like abortion rights and gay rights. He just changed positions on those issues a few years ago. And therefore, the evangelical voters are skeptical of him, and they view him as a, you know, as they say, it was a conversion on the road to Des Moines and not the road to Damascus.
Right. So do you think that the stickler isn't just discomfort with Mormon theology? It's more complicated than that?
I do think so, and I think that may ultimately wind up being the tougher hurdle for him. And it's not to say that he can't overcome both. I think on the Mormon question, I think that when all he has to do is explain himself, explain who he is and what he would do for the country, and perhaps reassure voters that he, you know, as he has said, he would follow the Constitution and that he would not hold himself to any other authority before the Constitution. It's sort of a Kennedy type of speech. He's been considering making that kind of address for quite some time. It may be a little early yet to do that.
Hmm. So do you have a sense of, in mainstream evangelical circles, do they understand, do you think, enough about Mormon theology to be troubled by it? And is there a discussion sort of an ongoing discussion about whether, you know, as a voting bloc, we should look the other way about these things that bother us in favor of the, you know, the bigger picture of Mitt Romney.
I think, well, I think there is a lot of misunderstanding about what the Mormon faith is all about and what, you know, what the beliefs are. There are some aspects of it that are unusual to people who are outside the church. And, you know, and this is not the view just among evangelicals. I think all non-Mormons really don't understand the religion. I mean, I think it's pretty understandable how many of us understand other religions other than our own. Maybe we don't even understand our own all that well. But you know, I think when you look at Romney, you have to consider the whole package. It's not just his religious beliefs, but it's also, you know, how he would behave as president. Would he be a steadfast conservative, or would he, you know, do things that he felt were right as a matter of convenience at the time, which is how his, you know, his changes of position on social issues are being read.
Mm. So in some ways, the sort of critical test is going to be, for some evangelicals, they'll put aside the questions that they think about Mormonism that are inherently, you know, heretical, like God was once a man, or that Satan was Jesus's spiritual brother, or that God literally impregnated Mary to conceive of Jesus Christ. They'll put all of that aside, or could, to say, you know, but he's a good bona fide conservative.
Right. And I think, you know, another element of Mormonism that makes evangelicals uncomfortable is the outreach that the church does, and, you know, sending its young members out, you know, the whole proselytizing aspect of it, I think makes them very uncomfortable. Evangelicals don't like to see people leaving their flock and going to another flock. So that's another point. But I think, you know, it's interesting to read, for example, in today's New York Times, an article out of Utah about how Mormons are wary of the scrutiny that Romney is getting. I think there's some fear that, obviously, Romney's candidacy is putting the spotlight on the church and the beliefs of the church. And some people, you know, it's an opportunity for the church to be better understood by the public at large. But then there's also a risk that some of the elements of the church will be, you know, continue to be misunderstood and even ridiculed.
Hmm. Linda Feldman, a political correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, joined us from her office in Washington. Linda, thanks.
Thank you.
801-585-WEST, again, our number, 801-585-9378. Joining us in the studio is Robert Millett. He's a professor of ancient scripture at Brigham Young University, the author of more than 50 books on Mormon doctrine, including the forthcoming Jesus, Who Got It Right? A Mormon and an Evangelical in Dialogue. And Professor Millett, welcome. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
What do you make of the question, are Mormons Christian? I mean, for so many Mormons, it's an absurd question. It's a ridiculous question, but for some reason it persists. What do you think is behind it?
Well, I think it has to do, as you suggested earlier, with who decides and who has the right to decide what constitutes a Christian. That is to say, if in fact the following three criteria are the requirements for Christianity, and then someone doesn't meet those three criteria, then you don't qualify. The question really becomes, who has the right to decide? But let's approach it from a positive perspective in this sense, that if in fact a person says, well, in order to be a Christian, you must be either a Roman Catholic, an Eastern Orthodox, or a Protestant, then obviously Latter-day Saints are not Christian. If in order to be Christian you must believe in the doctrine of the Trinity and the Trinitarian formulations that follow from 325 AD, then obviously Latter-day Saints are not Christian. But if you ask the harder question, and I think this is what Christianity is all about, if you push a Christian, they will tell you that they don't intend to take some theological exam at the bar of judgment, but rather that Christianity is all about relationship, then the thing to be determined is the extent to which Latter-day Saints accept Jesus as a divine being, accept his divine birth, his miraculous life, his teachings, his atoning sacrifice, and his resurrection from the dead, that he's not only the Son of God, but God the Son. If a person believes that, but yet doesn't meet those criteria we mentioned above, what do you make of them? And so Latter-day Saints refer to themselves as Christian. Whether others accept us, that's their choice.
Robert Miller, stay with us because I want to get to some of the particulars of the Mormon view of the universe. Krista Tippett is with us. Krista, of course, is the host of American Public Media's Speaking of Faith. The show can be heard on KUER on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. Krista holds a Master's of Divinity from Yale, the author of a book which is also called Speaking of Faith, and she's joining us today from the studios of KSNR in Minnesota Public Radio in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Krista, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Doug. It's great to be with you again.
Well, what do you make of this question? Are Mormons Christian? And we'll talk more about the particulars of what that means. But what's your sort of, I guess, knee-jerk reaction to the question at all?
Well, I'm not sure I have I know I don't have a definitive answer on whether Mormons are Christian. What I tend to do with a question like that is step back and look at the very big picture of how vast and varied the Christian enterprise is altogether, and the fact that Christianity is not one thing, that you can talk about, you know, many people speak about the church with a capital C, but when you look at real lives, that breaks down into churches and Christianity, you know, to use the word Christianity as a blanket term, also really doesn't mean very much. What I'm more interested in looking at Christians and, you know, even when you want to talk about the ancient church, you have two ancient churches. You have Eastern Orthodoxy, you have Roman Catholicism. Very different sensibilities. When you want to talk about the Reformation, you have different brands of Protestantism that have shaped churches and people very differently. You know, Calvinists are not the same thing as Lutherans. And I think that that there are some, certainly there are some core, I don't like talking about beliefs either, because I don't think it's about beliefs in terms of the way people live these things either, although beliefs, theology is important.
Sure.
Certainly there are some core, there's a center, there are some centers to Christianity, but these different expressions of Christianity stress different virtues, different insights, different Christian truths, scripture or reason or sacrament or the gifts of the Spirit. And so I want to, you know, pose the question of whether Mormons are Christian by laying out that palette. And Mormons have their own different emphases and their own history, as do all these other traditions. So I kind of, rather than answering the question, I want to open it up, I think.
Well, I think that's the essence of the conversation. But I also am wondering, though, is Mormonism in some ways so unique in parts of its, you know, cosmology that it has to be or could be considered differently in some ways than from other Protestant faiths?
I think Mormonism is unique. I've been actually following with great interest for years the dialogue that Robert Millett has been involved in with Richard Mao, with the great evangelical thinkers. Yes, Mormonism is unique. Mormonism has its own book. You know, that's very significant. If you look at now within these other Christian traditions, some of them take scripture more seriously or weight it differently alongside theology or experience. But the fact that Mormonism has its own book, I think, you know, that wasn't mentioned. You can talk about the theology of the Trinity and the Mormon cosmology and some of these other beliefs, but the book is really something that sets it apart. Mormonism has its own history. And I think there's been a lot made of that recently. Mormonism has its own figures. Although I really think if you look at the history of other mainline Christian traditions or something like Pentecostal Christianity, which after all defines perhaps as many as a quarter of the Christians globally now, that also has its own history, its own heroes. So there's some ways in which Mormonism is very distinct and other ways in which I think if we were having this kind of examination in our public life of, you know, Pentecostal Christianity or Roman Catholic Christianity, you would see that it is also a very dramatic and distinct picture with its own figures and its own ideas.
But this question of who qualifies is a typical part of the Christian experience throughout history, it seems.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I had an interesting experience just last week. I was in Seattle, and I moderated a panel discussion of something within Christianity that is called the emerging church. And these are young Christians who see themselves as post-postmodern. They have come in. They also see themselves as the kind of politicized evangelical Christianity that has dominated our culture in recent years, although most of them come out of evangelical Christianity. What's interesting about a movement like that is they are kind of re-examining, you know, kind of throwing up for grabs every definition of what church is, what the experience of church should be, who a Christian is, what Christian communities are. And it's fascinating because they end up, when they throw all those questions up, they end up kind of leaping straight back to the third and fourth centuries and revisiting all the big issues and the theologies that the church fathers examined. And one image that came up in that discussion, because, you know, there is huge diversity among their beliefs. And I would say that the older they get, they're all about 35 now. They've been at this for 10 years. And they are now all kind of branching off into the same kind of branches that that Christianity has branched into. You can see who's going to be anointing cardinal soon in that group. And you can see who's going to stay small and charismatic. They talked a lot as they tried to sort out their differences about how they differently distinguish between core beliefs of what it means to be Christian and so there's an inner circle of beliefs that are absolutely necessary to say this person is a Christian, and then there are non-core beliefs. There's a wider circle of questions that are up for grabs. Some of them put the issue of the authority of women in the inner circle, whether women can be clergy. Some of them put that in the outer circle. Another image was, what's in the hand that is closed? That is to say, you must have these elements, these beliefs, these virtues to be Christian. And what is in a hand that is open, that is extended to the culture, that is reconsidering, that is questioning? Those definitions of what's in the closed hand, what are core values, what's in the open hand, what are values that we may deliberate, we may navigate. Different Christians, individuals as well as communities, answer those things in different ways. I don't think there is a definitive answer.
Krista Tippett is with us. She's, of course, the host of American Public Media's Speaking of Faith. Robert Millett is here with us as well, professor of ancient scripture at Brigham Young University. We invite you to join us. 801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. We're going to take a brief break. Back in a moment. This is Radio West on FM 90 and XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're processing this question. Are Mormons Christians? For some, it's an absurd question. They believe in the Jesus Christ of the Bible, see him as the central part of salvation. Of course they're Christians. But for a good number of people on the religious right and others, Mormons don't, in fact, qualify. And this perception may be an obstacle to the presidential candidacy of Mitt Romney. At the heart of this is the unique and in some ways complicated cosmology and theology of Mormonism. Today in the program, we're exploring the issues that play into this question and asking just what does it mean to be a Christian anyway? 801-585-WEST is our number, 801-585-9378. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Let's take a call from Lars, who's joining us in Williamsburg, Virginia. Lars, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a couple of comments. I am a former Mormon. I even served a mission in France like Mitt Romney did, although 20 years after he did. But now I'm an atheist. My family still is active in the church, but I have turned my colors. I'm a Democrat, but I have an interest in this race because the question of Mormons being Christian, first of all, if I can give an analogy, I see the Mormons' faith in Christ as a rock and other Christians' faith in Christ as paper mache to look like a rock. It's not even comparable, the depth of faith that Mormons have versus other Christians. However, that being said, I also, as an atheist, stand on the sidelines of the parade with the emperor going by without any clothes on and hear everyone arguing what color his clothes are, which is very frustrating to me. But as far as politically goes, and even though I think he's probably an honorable man, my problem with Mitt Romney is that the Mormons believe that Christopher Columbus was guided here by God. They believe that the Founding Fathers were guided by God, that the Constitution is an inspired document, that the American continent was prepared for Joseph Smith to reestablish the church. And I think that's a warped worldview. I think that we have enough problems being arrogant as Americans without having inspired by God written all over it. And that's what I have to say. That's the real problem I have with Mitt Romney. It's not that he's not a Christian. That really doesn't matter at all. I hope someday we'll be enlightened enough to not even worry about what someone believes, what God they believe in. But his belief is, I know his belief. I know what his testimony is built on, and that's what scares me.
Lars, glad you called. Thanks very much.
Yep.
801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378. Robert Millett, let me ask you, where does Mormon theology stand in the scheme of Protestant Christianity? How unique are the beliefs of Mormons? The nature of God, those things.
There's a sense in which Mormonism is closer to Protestantism in terms of beliefs. There's a sense in which ecclesiologically we're closer to Roman Catholicism in the sense of a belief in apostolic authority and apostolic succession. Belief-wise, as indicated, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. We accept the New Testament Christ. The distinctions come in a belief in an expanded canon of Scripture. The belief that not that the Bible is that there's anything significantly wrong with it, so that we can't trust it, but a belief in additional Scripture, belief in a modern prophet. A belief in ongoing revelation.
But isn't it the nature of God that seems to be a sticking point for evangelicals?
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, how do you describe that then? How do you explain it? There's that couplet that you hear again and again to just sort of to boil down what the Mormon belief is in terms of the nature of God. As man is, God once was. As God is, man may be.
Yeah.
For many Christians, it's an absolutely heretical idea.
Well, it actually has two parts, Doug, and here's the problem. Trying to divide those two parts up and deal with them separately. One is the part, in some senses for me, the easier part to deal with is the more complex and the more heretical for some. It is the idea that God was once a man. There's no question Latter-day Saints believe God is a man. He's more than a force. He's more than some gaseous influence in the universe. But that he is an exalted, glorified man. The two statements you referred to, the one by Joseph Smith from the King Follett Discourse and the other from Lorenzo Snow, boy, that's about it in terms of establishing that doctrine. Now, do we accept it? I suppose we do. Do we know much about it? No. I mean, Gordon Hinckley himself, President Hinckley, said, I don't know much about it, and I don't know anybody who does. And so, yeah, it's a part of our belief system. But in many ways, I hear far more about this question from evangelicals than I ever hear from Latter-day Saints. I'm a born and raised Latter-day Saint from Louisiana that moved his way to Utah. I never hear this come up in the church, but it comes up all the time with my evangelical friends. And so,
but doesn't the idea of eternal progression, isn't that an incremental way of thinking about the universe for Mormons? That is to say, whether or not you can conceive of God as existing in a form that was not perfected or deified, that the prospect of humankind achieving perfection, achieving godhood, is a critical part, an ongoing conversation, is it not?
Well, that's the second part of the issue.
Yeah.
The second part of the issue is man becoming as God. And for me, this is not as difficult an issue, because it seems to me the New Testament points to at least this kind of a doctrine in such scriptures as be perfect as God is perfect, become joint heirs with Christ, become partakers of the divine nature, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I don't know what those mean, but at least a significant portion of the Christian world, namely the Eastern Orthodox portion of the Christian world, take those seriously as deification, divinization, theosis-type doctrines. Now, I don't know enough about the LDS concept of becoming as God, and I was raised a Mormon, to say what the differences are. But clearly the notion of deification, of man becoming as God, is not foreign to the Christian faith. It's been around for a long time.
So do you think that evangelicals are sort of keying in on principles that really, I guess if you dig deep enough, you find it within Mormon doctrine, but it's not an ongoing way.
It is a daily conversation, Doug, is what I'm saying. It's the kind of thing, I'm a teacher. I've worked at the university for 25 years. It doesn't come up. You say, if someone brings it up, I say, well, yes, I'm aware that was given on April 7th, 1844. I don't know what to make of it. I've read and read, and I can't understand it because I believe in a God who knows all things, has all power, and as far as I know, has been God from eternity.
But is that you hear this from evangelicals who say, why can't Mormons just embrace the uniqueness of that cosmology and say, yes, we do believe this. Yes, this is what we have been taught. We don't understand it completely, but let's do in fact say this. I mean, do you worry that people will misinterpret it? Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, there's no question that they may misinterpret it and do misinterpret it as our way of sort of shortening the distance between the creator and the creature. And I guess that does happen. It doesn't for me because I happen to believe that what the scriptures teach about the infinite distance between God and man. So I don't have a problem with that. But I think the greater concern, I really believe this, I think the greater concern for many evangelicals with a Mitt Romney or a presidential candidate is that such a thing, the election of a Latter-day Saint as president, would in some way legitimize Mormonism as a valid brand of Christianity. I've talked to many in evangelical. Yes, there's this theological point and there's that theological point. I think the greater concern is that too many people have expended too many hours, too much sweat, and too much money to show Mormonism is really a cult for the president to become Mormon and thus invalidate all that they have stood for.
So it's easier to judge a sort of monolithic institution as an individual.
Well, it is in the same way that was said beautifully before. We speak of Christianity as if it's some monolithic structure. All of us Christians believe this, and who in the heck is all of these Christians? I'll hear people say, well, traditional Christianity. What is traditional Christianity? It doesn't make any sense. What is traditional Christianity? Are you talking Roman Catholicism? Yeah, are you talking evangelicals? We have evangelicals who don't believe Roman Catholics are Christian. And so there isn't some one brand of Christian out there in which everyone believes the same thing. This is what makes this whole conversation so fascinating to me.
Krista Tippett, I gather that some of that resonated with you.
Well, right. Christian tradition has been this evolutionary substance. Yeah. It never stopped at some point with which all the answers were provided. And I think what Robert Millett is getting at also is aspects of theology which Christians live with as much mystery as truth, like the nature of God, and making a distinction between those things and aspects of faith with which one lives every day, which one lives into. I think it's an absolutely valid point. If evangelical Christians or other Christians right now were putting Roman Catholic doctrine under a microscope, you know, Protestant Christians don't accept what Roman Catholics say happens in communion.
Or with Mary.
Or with Mary. I mean, you can go on and on. Now, those are important debates that have shaped Christian history, that will go on, that are very important to some people, not so important or not important at all to others. I'm not saying they're not important, but again, You know, are they core? And, you know, for me, again, especially if we're talking about who we're electing to be president or how we're talking about this in our public life in the year 2007, what I'm interested in is how somebody lives this. And I think that what people are looking for, and I guess maybe I'm moving beyond this evangelical, this dynamic of evangelical scrutiny of Mitt Romney. When I talk to, for example, younger people in our culture who don't have a lot of the baggage that their parents had about this not being a subject we should discuss, I don't think they're interested in any given candidate passing some kind of litmus test about whether they're Christian or whether they're a good person, a real person of faith. This is about authenticity. This is about wanting to know who this person is in their fullness as a human being and how they carry it around and how it might imprint them, not necessarily imprint their policies, but imprint the way they conduct themselves as a leader of our nation. So to some extent, I think some of these debates are off center in terms of how many of us are watching this discussion unfold in the context of this election.
801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378. Let's go back to the phones. Debbie is with us, calling from Salt Lake. Debbie, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm just curious to know, what is the big deal? Either you believe in Jesus Christ, which would make you a Christian, or you don't, which would make you an atheist or agnostic. So what is the question here, and where is the answer? The question is, are Mormons Christian? Yes.
Robert Millett, you want to respond? It's pretty obvious to you, I guess.
I wish it were that simple. Because I've worked so closely with evangelicals for the last 10 years, I really do understand where they're coming from. But let me pose for you what I think is a typical challenge that I see in maintaining evangelical standards for Christianity. I'll show you, for example, what I believe to be a kind of double standard. I can ask my friends who are evangelicals, for whom I have tremendous respect, I will say, what if I agreed that I'm a sinful man? What if I agreed that I need to repent of my sins? What if I agreed that Jesus is the only way to salvation? What if I accept him as Lord and Savior? And what if I devote my life to seeking to be the kind of disciple he would want me to be? Will I be saved? And the response is always, well, of course. And I say, you know, I've done that. So I can be saved, I just can't be Christian, which seems to me a terribly interesting thing.
But what's the response to that? I mean, how do they respond to you? They say, but there's a but there. They say,
well, the but is,
you also believe that God was once a man. That heresy disqualifies you then.
Well, it does, Doug, get to the question, as has been said, as to whether or not a theological perspective determines one's relationship with God. And that's why I'm not going to apologize for the doctrines of Mormonism, because I'm through and through. On the other hand, if you want to talk about what constitutes Christianity, and if you don't feel comfortable calling Mormons Christian, call them Mormons with a different. Call them Christians with a difference. I was with Richard John Newhouse in New York not long ago, a very respected Roman Catholic who had been a Lutheran pastor for many, many years. He made the comment, he said, I think it's long past time for Latter-day Saint Christians and Nicene Christians to start talking more. Now, I'm perfectly happy with that kind of a distinction. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's at least acknowledging that I
you're a Christian. You
that
just
I'm a
don't
Christian
buy the
of
creed.
My own sort. Mm-hmm. That I'm a Christian that does not buy the creeds or the post New Testament church councils, and so I think there is a built-in dilemma here. That on the one hand I can be saved, I just can't be called Christian. The comeback actually is usually something like this, Doug. We have to draw the line somewhere. It's our responsibility as true Christians to decide who is and who is not. That's usually the comeback.
Robert Millett, professor of ancient scripture at Brigham Young University, is with us. Krista Tippett, host of the American Public Media program Speaking of Faith. We invite you to join us, 801-585-WEST, 801-585-9378, our email address, radio west@kuer.org. We need to take another break. Back in a moment. This is Radio West on FM 90 and XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Last month, a televangelist based in Tampa, Florida, told his followers that, quote, if you vote for Mitt Romney, you're voting for Satan. Many evangelicals in the country simply don't believe that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a Christian denomination. A recent Pew Research Center poll indicated that 30% of the public are less likely to support a Mormon for president. Today in the program, we're asking the very straightforward question, are Mormons Christians? And for that matter, who is a Christian? And who gets to decide? 801-585-WEST is our number, our email address, radio west@kuer.org. Joining us now on the line is Bill McKeever. He is the founder of Mormonism Research Ministry, which teaches what they see as the differences between Mormonism and Christianity. His books include Questions to Ask Your Mormon Friend and Mormonism 101. McKeever is joining us today by phone from his home in Sandy, Utah. And Bill McKeever, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Doug. Good to be with you.
Well, it seems like the question, are Mormons Christian, doesn't necessarily just directly get at the issue. So let's be more specific for a start. Let me ask you, is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as an institution, a Christian religion in your mind?
Well, coming from a Protestant worldview, I'd have to say no. I think the battle for the title of Christian has been going on for quite a while, especially since the beginning of the Mormon Church. I mean, the whole issue is whether or not those outside of the LDS Church have any authority to speak for God or have a right to claim to that title. When you have a person like Brigham Young, the second president of the Mormon Church, probably the most powerful leader that the Mormon Church has ever had in its history, make a comment where he said, should you ask why we differ from other Christians as they are called, it is simply because they are not Christians as the New Testament defines Christianity. I think that kind of sets the stage for this whole battle here. We want the title, but I think as you've been talking about this morning, what relegates that title or what, you know, gives a person a right to that title. The Mormon Church, of course, claims that it represents true Christianity, that all other churches or the professing Christian churches would be outside those parameters of true Christianity and would be considered part of the great apostasy. Well, you can imagine those are kind of fighting words. I mean, when we go back to the first vision, I mean, Joseph Smith made some very strong statements against what I and millions of other Christians hold very dear when he says that all the churches are wrong and that our creeds are an abomination and that our doctrines are commandments of men. I find it almost surprising to some respect that Mormons would understand why we would want to respond to that.
But don't all Christian religions, or all religions for that matter, have a way of saying we hold the truth, and while the others may be good, they're not entirely as truthful, complete in terms of having the truth as ours. I mean, don't you believe that as well?
Well, yeah, certainly to a certain extent, yeah, that would absolutely be correct. However, Mormonism comes in on the scene quite late in the game and then makes the statement that everybody else is wrong. I mean, as you've been talking about the other traditions, certainly there are disagreements that the traditions would have with each other, and again, it boils down to what do we as Christians consider to be core values. When we look at the teachings of Mormonism, we find that all the basic tenets of the Mormon faith either deny or distort what has been known to be a core value in Christianity for quite some time. If you're going to claim that Mormonism is Christianity, well, one of the ways that you kind of define a religion is by the God they worship. When Joseph Smith introduces a God where he says, we have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity, I will refute that idea and take away the veil as you may see. Well, you know, when you look at Psalm 90, verse 2, that God was God from everlasting to everlasting, naturally that's considered latter-day idolatry to many of us. That's not Christianity.
801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378. Let's go back to the phones. Christine is with us in Kaysville, Utah. Christine, welcome.
Hi, I wanted to make a comment, and then I wanted to answer a question that's been asked. And my comment is that for Mr. Millett, and I don't know so much about Ms. Tippett, but for Mr. Millett to say that we don't discuss the nature of God, I think that's disingenuous, because that's where the whole key lies. And if we're talking about a different Jesus or a different God or a different Holy Spirit, then we really need to discuss those things. And as far as who decides who is a Christian, I want to read Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. So I think that's the authority we go on, and I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Christine, glad you called. Thanks very much. I want to get to Robert Millett and Krista Tippett, give them a chance to talk about the ideas here. But I want to stay with Bill McKeever, if we could, for just a few moments, and have you respond to the essence of her comment, if you would, which gets at what you said right before that, the nature of God. That's the thing that seems to trouble evangelicals like yourself the most about Mormonism. Is that right?
Oh, well, that's a major issue, of course. I mean, if we're talking about a different deity, then how can you rightly claim that this comes under the umbrella of Christianity? I mean, the idea of a God who was once a man, I mean, that obviously begs the question, well, if he was once a man, what preceded him? And of course, in Mormon theology, they feel that they are repeating a process that's been going on since eternity past, since the Lorenzo Snow couplet that you were talking about earlier. And I apologize, I didn't catch all of the broadcast before, so if I'm kind of going over, you know, burnt ground, I'm sorry. But this is very troubling to Christians. I mean, they want to question our Christianity, as the quote by Brigham Young and by the First Vision, but yet when we respond, we're automatically accused of hatred or bigotry or something like that, and I think that's totally unfair.
801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378. Let's go back to the phones. Jason is with us, calling from Harriman, Utah. Jason, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine, thanks.
I've got a question for Bill, if that's okay.
Of course.
Hey, Bill, we did a DVD distribution down here in the south part of the valley with a DVD called Jesus Christ, Joseph Smith. And we got a lot of flack from the Mormon Church and from other people that were around, and they were saying that we were, you know, being mean by having these things to say about Joseph Smith. And I find that interesting, because when I have Mormons come to my door to share their faith, one of the first things that they tell me or that they allude to is that their church is the true church and that mine is apostate. I mean, is that kind of a double standard, or what do you think about that?
Well, personally, I think it's a double standard. I mean, I'm very polite when Mormon missionaries come to my home. I've had several sets of missionaries come in, and we've had great discussions, you know, lasting hours. And I thought the church response to the DVD was very unfortunate, because they alluded that it was hateful. They alluded that the outreach itself was hateful. They quoted from the Anti-Defamation League out of Mesa, Arizona, which Bill Strauss, one of the men that was actually quoted in that statement, when asked if he had ever watched the DVD, and he said he did, and when was asked specifically if there was anything hateful in it, he said no. But yet we're still hearing comments from Mormons, and I have to assume that was being alluded to at the prayer meeting they had on the National Day of Prayer down in Utah County, when Mormon Apostle Jeffrey Holland referenced hate-filled DVDs. I wrote Mr. Holland to ask him if he was referring to that DVD. He never responded to me. I've written to the First Presidency asking what exactly in the DVD was considered hate speech, received no answer from them. But if you're going to say that this DVD was hate-filled, then I think it's the responsibility of the Mormon Church to back that statement up, because that's a very serious charge, especially if you're going to point to the Anti-Defamation League's website on LDS.org and hear their own spokesman is saying that it did not have hate-filled content. That needs to be addressed. That's a serious thing that really troubles me.
Bill McKeever, let me ask you this question of what it means to be Christian. Why, in some ways, does that really matter? If the Mormons have particular distinctions in the way they believe, mm-hmm. isn't the broader question of believing in the divinity of Jesus Christ, despite maybe some of particular differences, believing in the essence of love, some of the sort of broader questions, not the particular questions of doctrine, why shouldn't they matter?
Well, I think the answer to that is probably why the Mormon Church responds to their being implicated with the fundamentalist. Gordon Hinckley said that there's no such thing as a fundamentalist Mormon. Well, what's he saying when he says that? He does not want a distinction drawn or a comparison drawn between the two. When the Mormon Church comes out and claims that they are Christian, people become very confused. Well, what are the distinctives of that faith? Oftentimes, I speak in churches, and one of the things I'll often ask when I'm speaking at church for the first time is, how many of you have LDS friends? And a lot of these people put their hands up. I say, how many of you have spoken to your LDS friends one-on-one? And these hands go up, and then I say, well, how many of you were told by your LDS acquaintance that they are Christians just like you? And virtually every time, all the same hands go up. Well, we all know that that's not true. There's no way that a Latter-day Saint is going to really and honestly believe that they are Christians just like us and still understand what the great apostasy is supposed to be about and what Christians have believed historically. Now, there could be an answer to that. Either these Mormons that they're talking to really don't understand what Christians believe, or perhaps they really don't understand what they as Mormons should be believing. But the fact is, there is a lot of difference between us. And this is why it was, I believe it was Dallin Oaks in a conference message not too long ago said, this is why we send our missionaries out to other Christians, quote unquote, is because they feel there is a difference. Now, a statement was made that the church centers around Christ. My question is this. If the LDS Church really centers around Christ and Christ alone, why does it excommunicate or disfellowship Latter-day Saints who come to realize that Joseph Smith was not a prophet but still maintain a strong faith in Christ? I can give an example here of Grant Palmer, who wrote a critical book on Mormon history, who was punished because he had lost faith in the testimony of Joseph Smith, but still, having talked to Grant several times one-on-one, still insists to me that he has a very strong faith in Christ. Why would he be punished merely for questioning Joseph Smith, but yet his faith in Christ seems to be still intact? Now, we can all argue on, well, what Christ is he talking about? What kind of view does he have? That's another issue. The point is I doubt if Grant Palmer's view of Jesus is different than most Mormons, I would say at least, but yet he was punished because he lost faith in Joseph Smith. If Jesus is really the center, why does that phenomenon take place over and over again?
Bill McKeever, let me ask you this finally. Would you look at Mitt Romney as a presidential candidate? Would all of these concerns you have over the particulars of Mormon cosmology and theology, would that be an obstacle for you voting for him?
I've looked at a lot of things that Romney has said, and really it's his politics that kind of concern me quite a bit. He's pretty new to the conservative game, and I admit I'm leaning towards the conservative side. I think what concerns a lot of Christians about Mitt Romney is his answers are often just as vague as the answers we get from Mormon representatives. And that troubles us. All we're asking is for some clarity here, and we rarely get clarity. We get a lot of people who have really no authority to speak for the church making these statements, and automatically it's assumed by outsiders who do not understand priesthood authority who has the authority to speak for the church, thinking that these comments somehow represent Mormonism as a whole. Romney is not only troubling to evangelicals, but apparently he's troubling to many Latter-day Saints for some of the statements he's made about polygamy, referring to polygamy as being awful. Well, what did he mean by that? Did he merely mean it was awful because it was a hard life, or did he mean it was awful because it was false? That distinction wasn't made, and it leaves us hanging. What is he really saying to us? How are we supposed to digest a lot of these comments? You know, his statement about where Jesus is going to return, you know, claiming that it's supposed to be on the Mount of Olives when, you know, clearly Mormon leaders have said it's supposed to be at Adam on Diamond. All this kind of stuff only fosters the suspicions that have always been there.
Yeah, we're about out of time, and I wanted to give some time for others to respond. So we're glad you joined us. Bill McKeever, founder of the Mormon Research Ministry, joined us from his home in Sandy. Thanks very much. Well, Robert Miller, a lot there to sort of process, I suppose. You want to react to some of what you're hearing?
Yeah, let's get back to the question you began with, to me, which is, to what extent should a person's religion, religious beliefs, theological peculiarities even, impact an individual's right to hold public office? I mean, clearly Article 6 of the Constitution says there shall be no religious test. But I think it would be well for certain evangelicals or certain other Christians, if they would pay the price, to go back and study the lives of some of the men we consider to be the founding fathers of this nation and their particular religious beliefs. I don't think there's a man that's more respected than a Thomas Jefferson. But Jefferson was a deist at best. I think more people love and admire, and I do, John Adams. John Adams was a sort of Christian, but not into supernaturalism, not into divinity of Jesus. And so, and yet they proved to be men of great faith. And I think this is what Romney's been trying to say. Okay, disagree with my theology, but the issue is, what is my character? What does my faith have to do with how I will represent this nation? Mm.
And Krista Tippett, to you finally, probably not a fair question with less than a minute, about 35 seconds or so, but what's your sort of final assessment of what you've been hearing so far?
You know, I come at this not as a scholar of Mormonism, and I don't think that the important question, you know, so Christine said, doesn't this all center around belief in Christ? And surely that is something that would be in every closed hand, in every closed circle of core values. But what distinguishes between different kinds of Christians is how they answer the question, who is Jesus to you? And how does that, you know, how do you live differently because of that? How do you love your neighbors? How do you love your enemies? Those are the kinds of questions I think for our public life would be most valuable for us to be asking people who want to be our leaders, not debating, not getting involved in these abstract discussions of whether they are a real Christian. I want to know what that means in how they live and how they might lead.
Krista Tippett, she's the host of American Public Media Speaking of Faith. You can hear the show Sunday mornings at 11 on KUER. Krista, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And Robert Millett, professor of ancient scripture at Brigham Young University. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Radio West is a production of KUER News. Thanks today to Erica McCauley. Our technical director is Mike Anderson. Radio West is produced by Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.